Today's scripture reading is a familiar one from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 13. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now, if you're so inclined, you might rise for the reading of the gospel. I'm reading from the 14th chapter of Luke. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brother or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Thus ends the reading, the word of God.
Thanks be to God. So it's been an interesting morning. I forgot my sermon, as I said. I have a backup. Tears fell. But if it's choppy, I can blame it on this. I can blame it on the fact that I've been gone, and you've heard some good preaching. Although I'm a little curious. On one Sunday, you got a view of everything from upside down. And on one Sunday, a view of everything from sideways. I know cannabis is legal in Colorado. What happened here while I was gone? I'm kind of worried. But I'm going to give you another view, or ask you to take another view, looking through the fog. 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 How often does Colorado have, how often does Aurora have fog? Not very often. Not like some places. I used to live up north, as you know, and there's one place along I-25 that somehow the highway drops a little bit, and that area, if there's any fog in the state, that place will have fog. If there's any weather in the state, you can be in nice sunshine and hit a snowstorm traveling through this one dip in the highway going up through there. But this sermon isn't about that. This sermon's about peering through fog. Have you driven in fog? Kind of unnerving. I was serving the first appointment I had, 1987. You know, that adds up to a bunch of years when you start naming dates like that. But there we were serving this little church just east of Cheyenne. We lived in Arvada, 2 hours and 10 minutes one way. So we would drive up and serve the church and then drive back. And that was the day on Sunday. It was a nice kind of relaxing drive once you get past Fort Collins. Most of the people are turning off at Fort Collins. So it's wide open out there, and there's nothing but antelope and birds soaring, and now the big wind generators out there. But it's a beautiful, beautiful drive north of Fort Collins into Cheyenne. The Burnses know that. Debbie, you and Joe drive that probably fairly frequently, getting up to see the kids. One year, Christmas Eve was on the middle of the week. And of course, you can't have Christmas Eve service without having it in the evening. So we had an evening service. It wasn't a midnight service, but it was a late enough service that by the time it was done, it was very dark. It was very dark. And it was a wonderful service, beautiful night. We all loaded in the car and started heading south. And there was fog. And there was a lot of fog. And it was very late. And I was driving and I was very tired and very impatient. And the fog was very thick. So I'm driving along in the fog, and it was just a matter of utter frustration to see a speed limit sign coming by saying 65 miles per hour. And I'm doing 30. And trying to peer through the fog. You know how that feels when you can't see. And sometimes it looks like it's opening up a little, and then it's dark, and you see shapes, and you almost become hypnotized by it, like in a snowstorm. And I'm driving along thinking, there's nobody out here. I've driven this road so many times. This time of night on Christmas Eve, there's nobody on this highway. It's okay for me to go a little faster because I want to get home. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And that reasoning that says I can go faster and then I can see ahead of me was reasoning like a child. Inside that vehicle, I had my precious family, daughters, family, sleeping, no help to me whatsoever. But as an adult, I put aside childish ways, and I realized you don't overdrive your headlights. Something might come out of there. There are antelope here in Wyoming. What if there's one there, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and it's too late for me to do anything, and I have precious cargo. So I was creeping along, and I was anxious because am I going too fast for the fog as it is? Maybe I should slow down even more, but am I ever going to get home? I need to go at least fast. It was an anxiety-producing situation. And it was alluring, too, because you could look up, and you know, fog settles to the ground, and you could look up, and occasionally you'd see stars. And you realize the fog was only as high as the car. Sometimes not quite even that much. You could see above it, but you couldn't see the road. It was frustrating. Now I see in a mirror dimly. But one day we shall see clearly, face to face. So I'm driving along, and I catch a glow off to my right. And I'm trying to estimate where I am, and of course, with different speeds and time, you don't know where you are for sure, but I must have been near that truck stop, and I look, and there's a semi, and he's merging onto the highway. And I thought, come on, buddy, join the misery. And as he comes onto the highway, he's a little ways ahead of me. And I realize that I see his light, and it's beginning to fade away. He's traveling a little faster than I am, or she is. In this modern age, it could have been a he or she driving. Didn't know, didn't see. But they're also higher up. I thought maybe they can see further down the road than I can. Maybe they've got some of those fancy fog lights underneath, and they can see a little bit better. So I saw his taillights, and I thought, well, I know where he is and how far he is. And if his brake lights come on, my brake lights are going to come on. And so I got behind him. And all of a sudden, we were not doing 30 anymore. We were doing 38, sometimes even touching 40. It was just heavenly. We're driving along, and occasional wisps of the fog would disappear, and we could see stars, and we could see the sky, and it opened up. And gradually, the fog began to wisp away, and I thought, oh, you're going to tease me again, aren't you? And then it disappeared, and it was a beautiful, cloudless, starry Christmas Eve night. The truck accelerated, I accelerated, and we drove home. But having those truck lights in front of me, I could relax because I thought, if there's something up there, he'll hit it before I do. Give me plenty of warning, and I think he can see better than I, because he's obviously traveling a little bit faster than I was. And so I just put my trust in him or her. Sometimes our world is a foggy place. Shootings again in Texas. Their second time this in 30 days. That second time recently. I feel so sorry. And yet, it's becoming commonplace. And political rancor is, I would think it would be changing somehow to straighten up, but it's getting worse, if anything. And my first Sunday off, the first Sunday that I wasn't with you, I got in the car and we went to Christ Church over on Colorado Boulevard. And as I was pulling it out of our driveway, I looked over and someone had spray painted my fence, tagged my fence. I was tickled. So part of the vacation was taking down the fence, sanding off the paint, and putting it back up. Some of them I just turned the pickets around. I cheated. But now I can see it from inside the yard, and it's just as irritating. Sometimes life is foggy. Sometimes life is foggy, and I gather with you, and hear some things are in tumult. You know, I worry about Peggy. I hope she's well. I think she is. We have reason to believe all is well with her, but unsettled. And our church is unsettled, and the church itself is unsettled. We've had huge debates over homosexuality in the church, and it's now coming down that we may see a split. The district superintendent came in and met with me right before we went on vacation, and he said, I don't see a way forward without a split. That's his opinion. That's the one piece of prophecy you can take or leave that where you will. But it may be good news. We don't know. It will not be about judging, condemning, and kicking people out of churches. All right, enough politics for a moment. Let's move on ahead here. I didn't bring my sermon, so I'm making this up as I go along. You're with me, aren't you? Is it doing all right? Am I all right? So we're fine. Yeah, I said all that. I handled all that. Oh, kingdom. See, this is where the whole title of the sermon came, peering through the fog as people of God. We're peering and we can see glimpses of the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God, you're all familiar with that. That's going to be that wonderful place. That's going to be Eden. That's going to be where everything is wonderful. Nobody's hurting and nobody's brokenhearted. There aren't those angry at each other. There's not those frustrations with them. There's not that grief that turns to anger when someone does shootings and kids treating kids civilly. It's kingdom of God is where we want to go. And we see glimpses of that sometimes through the fog. We just see glimpses through the fog just a little bit here and there. We don't see it clearly, we think we do. I thought I saw it clearly when I was a kid. I was in high school. Anybody ever been in high school? I was a photographer for the school, and the school had a telephoto that fit my camera. This was wonderful. I mean, if you're trying to take pictures and you're here and they're there, but with a telephoto, this was just the neat. This made life blessed. And so I went to my parents and I said, Mom, Dad, listen, I know this costs a little bit of money, but with this telephoto, it would be wonderful. And I explained to them all the things I could do and all of it would be like heaven in itself right there. And I was sure of it. So I worked on him over several weeks, and finally they bought me the telephoto or allowed me to go purchase it and gave me the money. And for about 2 weeks, I was in seventh heaven. And about 2 months later, I realized I've completely taken it for granted again. It's just another thing. And right then and there, I thought to myself, things are not what make us happy. I'm still learning that lesson over and over. You have to understand, I'm not quite that good yet, but things don't bring us the kingdom. Things do not bring us happiness. Things are things. Sometimes we think otherwise. We get a new car. Knew a gal that she was in total depression. Her whole life was just at an end. Bought a new car. Life was perfect for about 2 months. Bills started coming due, same as they were. Things. And she couldn't get away from that turning point of realizing where we're going and where Jesus is calling us is not about things at all. The kingdom is completely separate from that. But I do get glimpses of the kingdom. I was at Safeway. Somehow or other, you take a vacation. It's funny that going to the supermarket doesn't stop. I think it's my daughter who eats everything out of house and home. Do you eat all the food in the house, Melissa? Yes, she says. Yes, she does. It was hot. And we got out of the car, and Melissa said that she was just roasting. And we're trying to walk into the store. And I looked over, and there was an older fella with a vehicle, and his hood was up. And I thought, oh, nuts. I hate it when I break down somewhere. And here's this fella. And I was thinking, let me get Melissa over to the store and think about that, and then maybe I better walk over and see if I can do something. I'm kind of inept, but I'll do my best. And we got just about to the door of the store, and this other fellow right next to him had already gotten out of his car and walked over. And he had his hood up in a minute, and they had jumper cables out, and they're doing things. I thought, I just glimpsed just a shadow of the kingdom of God there. People helping people. You've been in those situations. You might have been the helpee, or you might have been the helper. But the kingdom's about that. It's about how we care for each other, and God cares for us, and how there's grace. I see different churches. We were going to try to get to Park Hill. We didn't make it on our vacation. They have a family living in the church that is, if this gal exits the church, she'll be arrested and deported. She lied about her social security number. And so now, as a green card carrier, she has to be kicked out. Her whole family's here. Husband is a legal citizen, or her kids are legal citizens, but she's going to be deported if she leaves Park Hill. That church has surrounded her and said, we'll help. We understand that some of our immigration system is broken. And so there are people doing something. There's people helping. And in that, I see some grace. And I see people helping people in numbers of ways. That's a politically loaded sentence that I had there, wasn't it? Maybe grace will help us figure out how we can move through that and together be people that offer Christ and that do the right things at the right time. And that's a tough decision to make. Those are hard things to figure out. I was watching the news last week, and school started. And so they had a little news article of one little boy. He had autism, but he was so excited about starting school. His parents had explained that he had gotten some of the paperwork, he'd met some of the teachers, and he was very excited about starting school. And they were so pleased, because this is a big deal. Starting out school, you need to start right. And you need to start with that enthusiasm and excitement. And so he was excited till he got there, and the crowds and the noise and the confusion overwhelmed him with his autism. And he was collapsing in. And he was just shutting down, and he was beginning to cry. And they showed a picture. A little boy walked over and took his hand. He just took his hand and walked with him. Now you're seeing some of the kingdom. Now you've seen through some of the fog. Now you're seeing these little ones showing us how it's supposed to be done. We get those glimpses through the fog. And that's a good thing. Sometimes when we're in the fog, we have a light of the taillights of the truck leading us through the fog. Christ is that light that leads us all the time through the fog. So today we have another opportunity for a glimpse through the fog. We're going to be glimpsing at an unusual place. You see, this table, I'm sure I've seen the plans for it. I know that carpenters built it. I know that it was consecrated. But this table is not our table, and it never has been. This is his table. And he has invited us to that table. That alone is overwhelming. That alone is beyond my comprehension. I am not worthy. and yet I'm invited to this table, this meal today, this communion. This table that sits on the fringe between this world and his. This world that is the light of Christ in our midst. And he tells us something about this table, and we need to make sure we heard that when Rich read the scripture this morning from Luke. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, the outcasts. You see, that's what those were, the outcasts, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Those are the ones, the theology of the time said that if you're crippled or lame or blind, God is punishing you. That means you're bad. You're evil. You can't be a part of most gatherings. You can't be a part of most Christian gatherings, most religious gatherings. You couldn't have come to the table. And Christ said, those are the ones to invite. And so we invite them as well. And we need to very carefully think, who are those outcasts today? And how do we invite them? And when and where? So this is the table that we invite them to. Shall we do that?